Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Hello, Teddy.
We can't stop snapping. Insane episode for you guys because we had our season opener two-card release to break down. OTA just now. Whew, some crazy hits on the OTA. Leagues, milestones, and new hot cards releasing to talk about. Brad, how's that climb going? What decks are we gravitating towards?
So I'm just trying a collection of random stuff. So we've been trying stuff with the new cards, with Blink and things like that. I've tried my, I guess what was Oreliable last season is one I've been labeling Hellfire, which is the War Machine, Infinaut, Ebony Maw type of deck.
Off meta spice from Brad. I love the call out to the random collection. That's kind of like our YouTube channel right now. If you guys enjoy the content here, hop over to the YouTube channel, drop a sub. That really helps signal boost us if you want to be able to hear more of our hot takes and deck tips.
Yeah, and you can get exclusive content over there as well as getting it early on patreon.com/can'tstopsnapping, like the bonus episode where we did an amazing job with the bounce deck. Went a clean 5-0, I believe, if you want to learn how to play bounce.
One of my top collab content moments all time, Brad. We got to get another one cooking. Do we have a list that we're doing yet, or is that still up for submission from viewers?
So right now we have a few options available, but we'll make a poll probably in the next couple of days that go both on Twitter and Patreon. So go ahead and join the Patreon for free. You can still vote on these. It's going to be between, I believe, Discard, High Evo, Ramp, because of the popularity of Blink now. Bring that up. And then we'll figure out one more. So if you have any suggestions for the fourth one, one that I didn't say
allow me to submit Affliction Ongoing, especially with this Claw hype.
Yeah,
that is just a dirty, dirty deck. Now, I know it's going to make a lot of people sad because it's heavily leveraging the updated U.S. agent, which is a sore spot for a lot of people who chose him as their skip card. But it's a super dirty deck, and there are substitutions that we can break down. So if you guys want to see some Psycho Affliction Ongoing, we could showcase that as well.
Yep, and of course, before we get into everything else, drop a comment, like, subscribe, all that good stuff on YouTube. If you're here on Spotify and wherever else you listen to your podcast, thank you. You can't see us for the most part, but we're happy to have you listening. All right, Teddy.
He gave you a full fist bump there. If you didn't feel it in his voice,
it was more of a shucks kind of swing. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this OTA. First things first. It's a cool one. I like this one a lot. Starting with a couple of cards that people are maybe a little bit, I don't know, like it. So it's weird. I go on the Discord, or I go on the subreddit, and there's always a post about it, right? Especially the subreddit.
Oh, yeah.
And they copy and paste the entire notes, including the little excerpts of why they're doing these things.
Yes, the dev notes.
And everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people still go, why did they do this? Why did they do that?
Yeah, I love that. It's like, did not read anything.
They just look at what happened and just said, I don't need to see anything else.
Okay, so Brad... The big head scratcher, right, is why would you nerf Hawk? Dark Hawk has felt like he disappeared from the meta. Shocking revelation from the dev stat trackers. One of the highest, if not the highest, win rate cards since going to 5-cost. I had no idea that he was doing that well as a sleeper.
I will say, the few times on stream, I would be like, let's fire up a Dark Hawk list. Let's try to get Dark Hawk going. Yeah. It always felt solid. It never felt like insane, but we would win and we'd do pretty well. So I'm not shocked by that in a sense. I'm a little bit like perplexed on the way they went about it because of another card that they buffed in this OTA. Let's just skip Lady Deathstrike for now. We'll go back to her. We need to talk to give context to my thought process on Dark Hawk and my confusion with that a little bit. We have to talk about Leech. So Leech was changed a while ago to be on reveal again, and then only removing the text from on reveal cards. in your opponent's hand rather than hitting everything, right? And they buffed him to a 4-2 from a 5-3. So you get him down a turn earlier, and they say in the notes they want to be able to target other impactful cards like Hela, but of yes. course other five costs like Cannonball, right. MODOK, things like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Annihilus was a major call-out as well.
Exactly, Annihilus as well. So in a roundabout way, they buffed a card to help kind of stabilize other archetypes around on reveal, like Annihilus, Hela, the lockdown stuff with Cannonball. But they didn't touch any of those, right?
Right.
So it makes my me have a little bit of a head scratch to, like, was there any other avenue to the Darkhawk thing? Like, I guess they can't buff Mill. Because that Mill actually just doesn't do anything because it's your deck, not theirs. I don't know. Is there any archetype that just, like, really hurts Darkhawk?
Well, it was Blob, but right. that he's not nearly he's on a diet now, and just not as impactful as he used to be. So I think Hawk is standing in just a really solid spot. At the five cost, it's harder to abuse him, which I think is why the deck has not taken off in the meta, but it's still right. very powerful. And I think that his win rate is largely a factor of how good rocks are and how dependent the meta is becoming on combo decks, where if you draw just one rock and you miss the key draw, you're off the rails a little bit. And then they slam the Hawk and they follow up with just good cards that they've kind of built around him, and they outvalue you.
Also, you know, people might be looking at this and be like, oh my God, Darkhawk got nerfed. It's only by 1 point, by the way. I'm right. not complaining about that. More questioning of, like, what their philosophy is. The other thing is, though, Leech goes perfectly in a Darkhawk deck again.
He does, it used honestly. To go, the curve is smooth.
Right. Rock, good two drop, rocks again, Leech, Darkhawk.
Blink.
You could go blink on five, yes, and
blink
save
off the leech, baby. Trade the leech for the Hawk. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the Dr. Doom, because your deck could run Dr. Doom or Magneto. Like,
I probably would. Yeah.
You're going to have to tech in a pretty weighty high curve there if you want to include blink in that specific deck, because that was a little hole in my initial analysis of blink, was that you have to have that more expensive card to get any trading going on. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a deck building puzzle, and I like that because her potential is still totally worth it. It's fun to think about. Maybe we should play the finish the deck with a Hawk list next week. We did that game where we had a fleshed out Hawk, or we, what was the deck? I had, like, seen eight cards of a specific archetype.
It was like a Mockingbird junk style deck.
We fleshed it out, and then I ended up piloting that to rank 72 in the world throughout that rest of the season. So we'll do it again with Hawk, and we'll see where I go, okay?
Yeah. So other card that they hit that people are sitting there going, like, why? It's Lady Deathstrike. She went from a 5-7 to a 5-6. Now, Teddy, we talked about this before.
She was in that deck.
Yeah. So we talked about this before, where the fact that they changed her ability now gives them two knobs to change. They can change the ability effect now of, like, the number on that, as well as her power. And this is exactly what I was alluding to, as we see them knock down a single bit of power. And they go on to say in the notes of, like, in Annihilus decks specifically, she was often the number one winning card or highest win rate card in the deck above Annihilus, which should tell you something. Like, Annihilus is the whole reason you run cards like Sentry and stuff.
The deck is named after him. But the thing is that Deathstrike, hitting those threes is crazy. You realize how many matchups have pivotal three or cheaper cards that then just get eradicated by Deathstrike, and it is staggering how impactful she can be. You can take out that Elsa. You can take out that Angela. You can take out that... The list goes on and on, but the efficiency... basically in that matchup against, like, Loki, Lady Deathstrike was your winning card.
Yeah. It's another card that's, like, we talk about Gladiator being free against certain decks.
Right.
I would say Loki is one of those decks. Lady Deathstrike does feel very similarly, especially when the Pixie deck goes off and she costs one suddenly.
Yes.
So, The other ones, just to, before we get to the fun stuff, rounding out some pretty much previous nerfs due to their eras is what they say. Like the Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. We have the Psylocke, yeah, Thanos Eras Tour, and then the Shuri.
Good old Shuri Sauron, man. I don't want to remember those days, but honestly, at this point, I've seen Shuri pop back up occasionally. Also, I had a number of people postulating that Shuri into Blink could be something, which maybe.
I've tried it, gone against it. It's something.
Yeah, so this Sauron buff is nice.
You get a 14-power Blink, replace a 4-1 with something that's marginally punchier, better. Yeah, that's definitely something. I will say that. So maybe you put that in Sharon.
It pulls Taskmaster, it will not scan Blink, right?
No. Well, yeah. Hold on.
But if it pulls Zola, will Zola be able to target Blink? Because Blink is not like fully resolved until that
mid card. One thing worth noting. So let's go back to another interaction that people were confused on that I've seen. It's Jubilee. So you play Jubilee, and Jubilee hits Blink.
Yep.
The initial thought would be, oh, it replaces the Jubilee. But because the Jubilee effect is still happening, when the Blink effect goes off, it hits whatever was previous to that. So in this sense, if Blink
is cycling a card with an on reveal, that on reveal will not target Blink. Blink is not resolved.
Yeah, I believe
to be targeted. Yeah,
which is a little awkward because then
the
Taskmaster just whiffs because the Shuri's gone. It can't even target
the Taskmaster
either.
Would whiff, the Zola would potentially whiff, so you're going to need to think of just different cards you want to use in those slots or not play Blink if those cards are still in the deck. So,
well, and then we also have to remember, Shuri doesn't have to be like the namesake card of the deck. Like, it is like in Sauron stuff, it's more
so. It could be a Scar deck.
Or it could just straight up just be in the deck as a 4-cost.
Yep, as an option for Blink to then cycle into. You're at your Doctor Doom.
But for audio listeners.
And a wide play.
Right. For audio listeners, apologize. We're talking about Sauron going back up from a 3-2 to a 3-3. They originally nerfed Sauron when Shuri was doing really well. Sauron was the highest win rate card in the deck for good reason. Yeah. Back to a 3-3. Yeah. And the same thing with Psylocke. Got nerfed from a 2-2 to a 2-1 again after being nerfed up to or buffed to a 2-2 in the first place because Thanos was doing well. And now they've reverted the buff again. It's fine. Those are gonna see play.
How fluid they're allowing themselves to be to say like, hey, this change happened. Now we're going to give the power back rather than looking for only new cards or like having, you know, a set time that they want to give a card change. The Psylocke change was pretty recent. The Sauron one's been sitting on it a while. And these
like
next
months.
Two are insane, man. Claw starter card Claw.
What is going on? Because they sit there and going like, we don't like touching starter cards. We don't like touching series one cards. It really ruins the new player experience. And
Medusa and Claw become late game viable meta tools.
Right. And Claw is already
you can't change Punisher and Captain America.
Yeah, exactly.
Dying,
it's wild.
Brad.
It's wild.
Why not hit the fan favorites? Medusa and Claw? Okay.
I don't get it. It's really weird. And don't get me wrong. I'm happy. And it's crazy because Claw was already, like, in my opinion, always that card that was like right on the line.
Is
of
he
like,
playable? Yeah. Because when Pro X was like 5-3 and hot, Claw was playable because you could kind of blind Pro X and then drop the Claw. And now, if we think back to it, like they just gave the +2 power to Claw. Instead of back to Pro X. So that combo is just
way,
as dangerous as it used to be. They also had this, like, is it an anniversary of Age of Ultron? They called out because we have another major buff to an Age of Ultron villain. Am I missing something? Like, because I just watched the Phantom Menace re-release.
Right.
Is there an Age of Ultron anniversary?
Claw was randomly in Age of Ultron. That's right.
And he was played by Andy Serkis, everybody's favorite.
Okay, I just watched last night. Both Rise and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I'm going to rewatch War again soon.
Do you recommend them? I have not seen anything in the franchise.
Them. Love them. I genuinely speaking, tiny 30-second quick little thing about the first one. A lot of people like kind of, it's more of like divisive, I guess. The other two are fantastic.
Okay.
I like this one a lot because the humanizing of, like, I mean, that's the whole point, right? The humanizing of, like, Caesar and stuff like that, like the, the apes. It makes you genuinely sad. There are moments in it throughout the entire film where I'm just like, I didn't like the way that made me feel.
Gotcha.
But that's good. That's a good thing. So absolutely recommend them. Andy Serkis, again, so good. And the CGI in these are really good, like ahead of their time. Like, you look at like the orangutan and you're just like, that's an actual orangutan. That's,
they trained him to speak.
Yeah.
How did they do that?
He's great. Fantastic. Good job.
Yeah.
Maurice is his name. But yeah, back to Ultron. Gives you two power drones now. We talked about this very idea, Teddy, like a month or two ago.
Yeah,
and because we're like, Ultron doesn't really exist anymore.
We evaluated all the six drops at one point, didn't we?
Right.
Like, yeah.
And we collectively agreed that the simple jump from one to two power on the drones would be too good.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Here we are. Now, it's fair. Like, Ultron used to be a staple. And then it dropped off completely.
Yep.
Patriot went a different direction for a little bit, and then Patriot himself was outpaced. Now,
so
can we play it?
You can. Let me drop some knowledge on you, Teddy, because I played an Ultron deck for about 2 hours on stream today.
Oh boy.
My overall consensus is, when you have your Hyrule, which is Patriot, Mystique, Blue Marvel, Ultron, and then just fill everything else with Ultron bots.
Yep.
That is 28 power in the other lanes. Okay.
Good night.
But listen to what I'm saying, though. It's 28 power. That feels like a lot, but in practice, it's not as much as it used to be.
No, it is like you're capped out at that, right? And there's going to be other decks that outrace you.
Right.
If they want to go tall.
I had the 28 two games in a row.
Yeah.
Those two games in a row, I was against a Phoenix Force player both those games.
Oh, no.
And they just had 30 plus in each lane because they had the Shuri into Nimrod.
Right.
Not even the Phoenix Force play, just Shuri, Nimrod, and then Venom destroy stuff everywhere.
Yep.
That's it. And I lost. And that's just a... Can you get Shuri on the second to last turn of the game? I'm sorry, turn four, right? Into Nimrod, and then just have destroy cards in your hand. Whereas our combo is, can you get Patriot on three, Mystique on four, Blue Marvel on five, and then you have to have Ultron. Like, it's so convoluted in a way. I think it's okay. I think it's gonna, you'll win games with it, but I don't know. I thought it'd feel better than it does. It's just just over 20 power, you know, on average. Like, because again, that's the Hyrule is 28,
right?
If you just go, like, you know, Patriot, Mystique, then it's 24. If you just go Patriot, it's 16 each lane.
That's not winning you anything.
It's really not. And then, like, you feel like you want to play cards like Dazzler and stuff, which you do.
Right.
But the Dazzler is worth less than if you have, like, the Patriot Mystique thing for the drones.
Right. The drone actually taking all the buffs is going to be better than some of these other low-cost cards you wanted to fit into the curve. So you are really bound by it. And then it's also incredibly hard to fit in control cards.
Right.
So you don't really interact with your opponent. But if they interact with you to throw off any of these combos, you're in trouble. So, yeah.
So I do wonder if there's a different route you go. Because on its face value, Ultron is better than Dr. Doom if we have an empty lane. Okay.
True.
So
true.
What if you just did something like what if you played Claw in the deck, right? And turn five Claw, then Ultron. That way you really buff a lane. And like you just play like Kazar on four. Right?
Yeah, you
like
could.
Kazar into Claw into Ultron might be something. Like in maybe Ant-Man's in there or something.
Yeah, you could play the other one costs or like Yeah, Dazzler, Ant-Man, the cards that want like that lane getting filled up to be really good for them, but then you don't have the specific Patriot Mystique combo potentially holding you back. And that can open up that mid-game for you to do different things. Maybe some location manipulation as well. I don't know, like a Storm, locking something down that you'll get back with the drones. There's space to play.
Storm's
for sure.
Interesting. I like Storm.
Yeah.
As an idea. It's just,
or maybe they need to go back to the drawing board with Ultron and make him like a 6-3, but then have the call out that the drones are his power, whatever it is.
I'm intrigued, but I'm scared of it.
If releasing right, doing that change with Gwenpool around the corner is impossible, but it was an idea.
Did you see that Gwenpool got a little OTA adjustment?
Yeah, she got like better.
So her base power is up. She went from a 4-4 that gives 4 random plus 2 hits on your cards in your hand. To a 4-6 with 3 random.
Three
plus
randoms.
Hits.
Yeah, what the heck, like, second dinner?
That's still more, pretty good.
More upfront power that, in my opinion, makes her better, because coming in the later portion of the game, you want that guaranteed burst of power and then the little bit in hand. Like, I prefer that.
Yeah.
So, no. Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the biggest takeaway I have from this OTA is I'm happy that they're willing to try things. They even go on to say, hey, we don't know if we need to revisit Ultron later to actually take some power away from him.
No.
But we'll figure it out. We just didn't want to do it preemptively.
Yeah.
I don't know if they will. Doesn't feel like they'll need to. No. It's also funny that they give Ultron this crazy new buff and then Leech, it got better in the same update. And they're like,
stop him.
But
Leech does that for so many things. Like,
true. Yeah. It's a good OTA. It's just a little like Claw is like really cool to see, but I'm also just like, why not Captain America?
Uh-huh.
Also,
hit a couple of these early game ongoing cards. Captain America, Punisher, Claw. Like, does feel like it could be a package with the old Onslaught.
Right. Like, I don't know, man. It's just, I want the cards to be cool. I want the cards to be better. Now, I am excited to play Onslaught with Claw in general.
Yeah.
It's a 520 at that point.
With are you going Ms. Marvel, or are you going to wait for Namora and then pop off? Claw's like an amazing Namora target, right? He hits 5-9
first, or he have ramp,
cannot be shanged, and then is still generating this plus 8. So his rate of like 5-12 is nuts. You're just, the only thing is you have this quote unquote play restriction of you can only play him in the mid to left lane to get the value of the ability. If you could find a way to go like Claw into Iron Man into Namora. Honestly, Iron Man into Namora might be one of like the best things sneakily.
I mean, he's a 5-5. We're talking wave at this point, though, right? You got to go wave.
Some kind of energy cheat to accelerate.
Could be Psylocke.
Though you can't. Yeah, we got Psylocke, the Psylocke now. Why not? So you got Pro X, Claw, Iron Man, Namora. Like, that's a dirty, dirty deck. Too many 5 costs, but it's,
ooh,
if you, would be fun.
Interesting idea is, well, I mean, that's why you play Psylocke and wave, right? So you can go Psylocke on 3, wave on 4 kind of thing if you need to. But I'm sorry, wave on 3, sorry. What if it was Professor X on 4,
right?
Blind snipe a lane.
Oh, yeah.
Namora, give the buff, and then you can just Claw to extend more into that lane.
Why not?
I don't know how that's going to win you very many games, but it might.
Well, if you're going to Onslaught, right, the Claw Ms. Marvel Onslaught in her early stages was viable. In her current stage, you got to get a little bit more clever in making sure that you're getting her buffs, but not that much more clever. Like, do you remember this, Brad? You'd go Invisible Woman, Ms. Marvel, Onslaught. Like, I saw that a lot.
Right. It's definitely something you could still do.
Yeah.
But I think I would rather go with Claw in particular. I'd rather go like Ant-Man or like Mojo or something. As like your small thing, and then like Omega Red.
The Omega Red.
Well, no, think about it, because I want to go tall in that lane while also simultaneously extending Claw out more.
True.
So how do I go tall? Well, I can double the effect of Ant-Man, double the effect of Mojo. slap Omega Red there, and I feel pretty good about winning my two lanes now. Mojo's a bit more tricky because it depends on your opponent as well. So Ant-Man's the consistent one here, but yeah. Ant-Man being a 1-9 is pretty cool. Or a,
let's go.
Yeah, 1-9. Yeah.
Yeah, they buffed him.
Yeah. So we get a 1-9. You have a 4-5. So that's 13. You have another 4. That's 17. Another 7. That's 24 in a lane right there. And then 16 right. to the right. And then potentially 19 to the right with that Omega Red buff. No, I'm sorry. 22 to the right. Because yep. it's a double buff.
And so you're putting 20 on the other side.
24 and 22.
Yep.
That can win you games. I know I was just talking garbage about Ultron's 28 in each lane not winning as much, but this feels oddly more consistent.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, you have fewer, you have different paths to get the same power mm-hmm. rather than Ultron having to have like just the critical path of I play this every single time on this turn.
Right.
Or the only way for it to work. I think honestly with Claw, like just this Spectrum ongoing might be the move.
Spectrum Destroyer coming back. No. Damn. Oh, I'm so sad. I hate that I got Destroyer unlocked a hair too late.
Yeah.
Like for his heyday. Like I got yep. Destroyer unlocked and I was able to play it as like the top deck for like maybe a week or two. And right. then I like, think just too many cards came out at once and it just negated. I don't know if it was like the big November.
Oh yeah, all those series 4 and 5s. That blew it up.
Yeah. Where Destroyer was just gone from the meta. And then I was stayed like gone. Yeah, I was still in series 3, just got Destroyer around that time.
Yeah,
because I started with the global launch. I wasn't like you, Teddy. Or no, wait, you didn't what? Play beta.
I got in the beta, but I was free to play.
That's right.
I was free to play for the beta, and then I started turning into the dolphin that I am now. The beautiful dolphin.
I was a temporary whale. I am no longer a whale.
Yeah.
I basically reached that plateau point of like I have 30,000 tokens. I have 15 caches and I'm collection complete. I'm good right. for the foreseeable future to kind of keep it going. If a really good value comes up and I was planning on getting gold anyway, then I might drop a little bit here and there, like maybe once a month. But beyond that, I'm not really spending on the game anymore.
Yeah.
For multitude of reasons. But speaking of new cards, Teddy, some other new cards. Starting with the season pass card in Blink.
She's good.
We saw a little while ago, about a week ago, she got nerfed to a 5-6 in a random OTA. Yep.
Right.
And then right before the video, or right when the video came out, we saw her at 5-7 again. We're kind of like, did you mess up? And then that little OTA that came out that messed with Gwenpool also messed with her to be a 5-7 again. And you're like, why'd you nerf her?
They wanted to give it a try.
She's good. She's really
either way, really good. So yeah, if we see a little touchdown on Blink, I would still keep playing her. She seems super fun. I love the deck building idea here. And then just the tempo, man. Tempo baby off any of these high power 4 costs to play her on curve. Or I mean, popping her into a lot of different things is feeling great, but the main thing is ramp. I've seen true ramp and I've seen hella ramp both do incredibly well. I experimented with a number of different builds, mostly around Blink because that one really inspired me for my deck building more so than Nocturne. I did try Surfer, which was very interesting because Blink is a way that you could kind of guarantee getting Sarah to the board. Or you can cycle if you put enough fodder cards like your ones in there. Just make sure like on turn 4 or 5, you play a 3 and a 1 and then Blink makes that 1 into another 3. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure that you're cycling your deck with these guys, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that makes me interested to do that in Sarah control.
Yeah.
Like even if you just like on 4, cause sometimes you can tempo out your Shang-Chi to like to get rid of like a monster that spawned on an island, or like maybe there's like a Maybe you're expecting to see a sentry come down, or like, or even if you just like, you throw it out hoping to hit something. If you whiff, you're like, cool, I have a guaranteed shuffle that back in, get my Sarah recall out,
yeah,
and maybe re-roll it in my control turn, you know?
Yep.
I've also been trying another good card with blink, which we talked about a little bit, Leech.
Yes, the new Leech is like perfect for the control lists, right? Because you get that effect, yeah, nullify their hand, and then trade that 2-power body for something punchier on the blink turn.
Yeah, I haven't tried blink yet in Sarah control, but I've been trying Leech, and yeah, Leech on 4 in a turn in which I don't want to give them priority anyway.
Right.
So 2 on 4, 4 power on 5. That's 6 across 2 turns, and I negate a bunch of stuff in their hand. It lets me do the control things I want to do. It just fits nicely, and it's great because a lot of the 4 costs that you run in Sarah control are things like Shang-Chi, Enchantress, very reactionary, very like, there's not really a 4-drop besides like Miss Marvel. If you're going that route, that's like proactive, that I can just set this up to make my final turns better. Leech actually feels like it fits that role pretty nicely, and I was happy to use it.
100%. No, I like the new stat line for Leech. I don't know if I like his effect being in the game more generally, but we'll see where I fall on that. And for the control players, it definitely is great to see him being cheaper. And I
played Leech in Haiva today too. That went well.
Nice. Yeah, the location protection magic limbo has never lasted so long. But yeah, I think that blink is awesome right now. Just like turn your brain off, play ramp. But then if you want to dig deeper into some of these deck building ideas with other archetypes, you can find some really awesome kind of consistency multiplication with blink finding key cards for you. And once people really unlock that, I think you're going to love having blink in your collection.
Living Tribunal is what I did the first thing on Tuesday. And it was nice having my only other 5 cost be Iron Man. It allowed me to get Iron Man out guaranteed to be able to go Onslaught Tribunal.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Because so you haven't drawn Iron Man, but then you trade the Jubilee or whatever 4 you were using.
Or into Electro Iron Man on 3.
Yeah. Trade the Electro for a big boy, and then you get to power that lane up. I gotcha.
You just have to not run the MODOK hella thing.
Yeah. No, it's just like straight Tribunal.
Yeah, pulling MODOK is really sad when you really didn't want MODOK. I tried that for like 2 games, and I reached the point at the end of one of the games where I was going to blink, and I had 2 cards left in my deck. Yeah. One was an Iron Man, one was a MODOK, and I was like, do we go for the 50-50? Because if we hit the Iron Man, we have like 400 power in each lane.
Chat says yes.
We did, and we hit it. We got there, and we won the 8-cuber. And I was like, all right, cutting the MODOK now.
Yep.
Like, that was my lesson. So it was great. I think that's another cool thing. Blink feels like one of those cards that just can go in a lot of different decks. We even talked about it like when Darkhawk and stuff, right? It's interesting. I'm a big fan of it. Don't
cycle the Rock Slide into Hawk and then draw Rock Slide again. Let's go.
Or like you said earlier, we can Leech on 4, like in the classic Darkhawk when you leeched on 5 after playing Darkhawk on 4. Just a little switcheroo there.
Exactly. And then
blink out the Darkhawk as your only other 5 cost, maybe?
Blink is giving me the feeling. Obviously, it's a very different effect, but the feeling of Grandmaster, like the feeling I wanted to have from Grandmaster. Right. But blink like does it. Like a huge deck building potential for multiplicative effects.
Are you saying that Grandmaster should swap a card with a cheaper on reveal, specifically an on reveal.
Oh, specifically an on reveal. So another cheaper on reveal card.
Yeah.
That gets pretty niche. Just like a cheaper card would be fun to play around with. Maybe you make him a 3 or 4 cost, and then you can play your, I mean, again, white tiger is one of the best hits. You can either go blink off the white tiger for a big boy or Grandmaster off the white tiger for just another thing, but you already got the value of the tiger. So
right.
Let's go. I'm in. Or Jubilee. All right. Jubilee, again, one of the best hits for both of those.
Jubilee would be still very good.
Would be pretty spicy. Second dinner, you know where we are. You can contact us.
We'll be happy to do some design for you guys.
Yep.
All right. alongside Blink this week, we had the Spotlights, which consisted of Kyera, Selene, and the new card in Nocturne. Have you been able to play a little bit with Nocturne so far, Teddy? Or have you?
Oh yeah, I kind of slammed Nocturne into most of my early deck testing, even though they were built more around Blink. But hey, that Surfer deck was running the Nocturne. I also did have a pseudo Silky Move deck that was leveraging both Blink and Nocturne. I haven't played like the true Silky Move without Blink and just Nocturne slotted in there. I think that's probably her best list, and I think is just a little off meta at the moment. Nocturne seems fine. I don't know. Like, I don't want her buffed or nerfed, but I also don't care about playing her.
Right.
Is that fair?
Yeah, it's what I essentially alluded to last week of like, I think she's, when I was doing my listings of like 1 through 5 for this month.
Yeah.
Which I guess we should talk about that real quick, because I can pull up my list if do you have a list by any chance?
I did not make mine this season.
All right. Well, let's see how much you agree with my list, okay?
Yep.
So I'll start from 5 to 1, 5 being the worst.
Yep.
And I have a little snippet of each thing. I have Sage at number 5.
Interesting, because she was recently changed, or she was changed kind of late here to the season releasing.
This was post-change, too.
This post-change, you think Sage is the worst?
Yep. Sage, I said I'd love to be wrong. Think she's okay, but there are other cards I could easily run over her in most decks I would consider her in.
Yeah, like the big detractor to Sage is that she has to be a pseudo-reactionary 3-drop. Like, she's not the 3-drop I want to play on tempo, and any card I want to be able to play on tempo or later on to, like, good effect either way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see that. I would probably put Sage above Nocturne, though.
So I have Nocturne right above Sage at 4.
Okay, so we just flipped those, yeah.
So my reasoning is, I said she's actually sneaky good, in my opinion. I just think the ceiling is better on everything else this month. However, she by far has the highest floor.
Of just being a 3-5.
A 3-5 that can change a location and move. Like, her ability, the floor is just the highest of anything this month. More so than Blink, because Blink can whiff and be weird.
You've just drawn all of your big stuff and you're like, I want to blink because I'm holding just big stuff. I finally get to play, but it's going to have no targets. That sucks.
Right. Or it's going to be like not really what you want at that point. Because like I've even had times where like I hit Dr. Doom early and I'm kind of like, I kind of had a different game plan in mind for how I want to set this board up. That Central Park really messed me up now, huh?
Central Park like, and Doom Bots. Yeah, you're like, I just got nowhere
like that
to play.
This happened. So, you know. Whatever. Number 3, I have Squatch. Sasquatch. It's just going to be insane and bounce. A lot of different cool deck building ideas. Any card that gets cheaper.
Mobius.
Yeah, Mobius is the thing. But any card that gets cheaper by you doing something rather than like, I don't know, or I guess like you can't treat them like Scar, because Scar is like very Winmore in my mind.
Yeah.
Where this actually just builds upon itself.
Right.
You can guess number 2.
Nomura.
Yep. I think people are sleeping on her. She's going to be crazy with things like Wong or even Ravona Goblins.
So nobody understands Nomura. It's killing me, Brad. I saw in the post of the OTA when they gave her a point, people in the comments were like, they should have given her an ongoing so that she synergizes better with stuff like Namor and Orca. I'm like, no, I'm not playing her with Namor or Orca. Are you insane? She's good with like all this other stuff instead, and she's better as an on-reveal. I've been fighting literally ever since she was data mined. I've been like at war for Nomura.
And of course, number 1 is Blink. I just said turn 4 after Electro is really gross.
Yeah.
Turn five after Jubilee is really good. Like, So that's where I'm kind of at for this month. I still think Nocturne's a solid card, but it's so easy to just get something else.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like there's other things that do her job, other things that move, other things that change locations.
And sometimes you want something that moves immediately, right?
Yeah.
Like, I play Miles in my Hellfire list with the Infinite War Machine thing, because I have a bit of a move package in there with Spider-Man, Silk, and Jeff. And the reason is, like, on turn seven, because I'm playing Magic, I want to guarantee to be able to play a one drop alongside of my my Infinaut. So my 3-1 drops are effectively Stature, Ebony Maw, and Miles as a backup plan. So sometimes on turn four, or like if I'm playing Miles in general, like just throughout the match, I want to play Spider-Man or something like that just so it moves immediately. Nocturne doesn't really do that. And sometimes Nocturne's awkward because like you play her and you're like, ooh, I would have liked her a turn earlier to turn off this location for this timing window. Speaking of timing window, sorry, hers is weird. Have you noticed that?
No.
The move occurs, right?
Yeah.
But everything else in the turn happens, and then she changes the location.
It's always last in
it's
the
always,
queue?
It's always last.
Oh.
Which is the opposite of all other move synergies.
So you're saying if I move her and then play a card to the location I move her to, that card will be affected by the current location, not the random one?
Quantum Realm is a great example of that.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't quite picked up on that. I'm surprised I didn't. But yeah, weird. And hopefully they'll change it because that shouldn't be how it works.
I agree. It was a little weird when I was playing.
It's literally on the card when this moves, not at the end of the turn this moved.
Right. So it can mess up your timing and stuff. So I don't know if I've done a thing where I can sequence it correctly. I'm pretty sure it's almost always been at the very end. I don't think I can go like play a card, move her, then play another card. It's pretty much always been like the end of the turn it happens. Like the other effects happen.
Interesting.
But
well, we'll look into it more.
Yeah. What do you think of the week though? Do you think people should before we go into the next week?
No. That's the other thing, is like these other cards, like Kyera was hot when she came out, now she's not, and Selene was always the junk one trick that even the junk decks have moved away from. So this is a pass week. I'm seeing a lot of people calling it out. It's a pass season. I think that some of them rise above, but this week definitely, if you're budget conscious, rest easy. You're not missing out.
Well, let's look at the next week real quick.
Oh, why'd they have to put some of the best variants with Sage, Brad?
Yep. I used tokens on Nocturne this week. I will be using my caches next week because I want these variants.
Legion Tribunal, baby. Ink Pulp and a Flaviano Legion that is just absolutely amazing.
It's the Legion I want more than anything because the only Legion I have is the Dan Hip one, which is fine. I don't mind it. But this is just like, oh, this is my vibe. This is what I like.
Yep.
And then the Ink Pulp is fantastic. I would like to collect all the Ink Pulps, please.
I'm with you. And then Sage, like, we'll see where she really falls. It seems like she could be a decent efficiency piece, especially for a deck like, you know, anything. Surfer, hey, man. We always call it out every time a 3-cost releases. I think the Surfer deck could be using Sage, like, say, instead of Gladiator, definitely instead of Wolfsbane.
Right.
Feels a little bit stronger there. And I'm sure there's going to be some creative uses where she can get really powerful. Like really, really powerful. I don't know. I just got leveled recently by a Valk Grandmaster final turn combo on a Cerebro deck that was running Magic. So you can make some really niche cards pop off in the right combos.
Yeah. I think she's going to be interesting. She's going to be a lot better with like Wong and stuff, just like kind of Wolfsbane is.
Well, yeah. So how do you feel about this ability on Absman? Go from 3-0 to 4-4. That's a pretty big buff.
Yes. That might be the saving grace, but like, let's compare it to another wonderful 3-drop into Absman combo, Brood into Absman. What's better?
So Brood is 6 and easily playable on curve.
But then Absman is 12.
Just an immediate follow-up. It takes away a lot of board space. Your deck has to be able to accommodate that. Uh-huh. But Sage also is kind of taking up a lot of board space because you want other unique tokens with unique powers around her to really amp up. Specifically, 3 of them. so that she could hit that six power of the brood. She does key off the opponents, which is great. I'm wondering if she could just be an efficiency tool, like instead of Gladiator and a deck that's using Mysterio to discount Mockingbird. Then you have a zero, which is pretty unique out there on the board, and something like that.
How often do you think you'll be able to match in power?
Yep.
Ignoring the board space thing, because I know we got to look at it in a vacuum, at least for a second.
Yeah.
Sage into Abzan, can that ever match, on average, Brood into Abzan? 6 versus 6 and 12. Can you get 6 and 12 on average with Sage and Abzan?
6 and 12. I mean, that would be... The Abzan follow-up would have to hit...
Also hit at least 3 cards.
Yeah, I'd have to hit more. I'd have to hit 4 cards to hit 12 power.
It's plus 2 each, right? We sit, yeah. No, just 2
he starts
six.
At 4-4. He needs
to hit. Oh, 4-4, you're right. I was thinking he was at 6 for some reason. Oh, that's awful. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now, the Sage could easily do it. The Abzan is going to be the big ask. That's going to be the lift.
But, I mean, if he hits a little bit less, like a 4-8... Now that we've seen that maybe like the average is like, you know, 3-6 and 4-8.
Right.
Now you can compare board space and deck construction to that counterpart. Is the loss of 4 power on the Abzan on average? Because the Sage we think can most likely match the Brood.
Yeah.
Now is the Abzan not matching its previous counterpart at the cost of 2 open deck slots? Or I'm sorry, location slots? Is that a good trade-off to be like a 4-8?
The thing, I say like run them both. Get Bast in here, run Brood, Sage, Abzan. Run Patriot, Mysterio, and Squirrel Girl.
Okay, it sounds Dazzler. Like I can really easily cut this Sage all of a sudden.
I don't know. Sage starting 3-3 pop up. Maybe there's something there.
Yeah. The Bast idea is interesting. I don't know about the shoving her in a Patriot list just because.
Yeah,
you
is
have
it
a
just like
direction.
She plays in bounce with Bast?
Yeah, she might. I mean, turn one Bast.
And then that goes with
really
Sasquatch
good.
Later. Like, that could be something. But you don't want to play Bast with Sasquatch.
No. It makes you sad.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
you
it's
can,
like, you know.
But like. You're going to have some games where like would love to Bast. Well, I guess maybe do you run Luke Cage just as a backup in case you
maybe,
hit that
but
Squatch?
We're really reaching to make this card good. Like we each rated this one pretty low this season for a reason. It's just real hard because then it's like she's competing with Hitmonkey and obviously Hitmonkey for the bounce deck is going to be a little better.
Right, but this one you can play on its own on curve.
Yeah.
Bit more efficiently on average, especially
you
like in
yeah.
You can play into the Bast lane, right? You go Bast
right.
on one, two. You play maybe you just like you know throw down whatever on two,
yep.
And like what if you go like 2-1 drops on two, right?
Yeah, or that
in and then like maybe you hit the Nico turn into a demon, so now you have a 1, a 2, and a 6, and then Sage. Is a 3-6 off rip, then you can Falcon pick all those up again, and now Sage is in a lane by herself.
Well, you're hoping that the opponent played at least one card there, so Sage is going to be a 3-8,
right?
Which is Gladiator without the downside of drawing one of their cards.
And you can also Beast to pick up Sage, which would make her a bit better on average. Now, she might be like a 2-6 that can grow from there after being Beasted.
That's true, because in the bounce game plan that was using like old cheap Hitmonkey, you'd look to play the monkey and then discount it and like roll it again. The Sage on that first hit is going to be better than the Hitmonkey, and on the second hit is probably going to be worse. But overall, it might be more dynamic.
Well, I think we might have found a home for her. I'm still not convinced she's going to be crazy good.
No.
But she might... Look, I'll finish by saying this. Like, I want to be proven wrong. I want to be proven wrong that she's going to be good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Same.
I'll try her and bounce. All right. So now, talk about new cards. Talk about upcoming cards. There is the other thing to talk about, which I didn't
Leaves
make a tab.
And milestones.
Right. So let's find a thing while you introduce
us. Which one
do
you want to do first? Do we want to go milestones?
Milestones is a bit pretty quick. Happier, right?
I guess.
So maybe we want to do
leagues
first.
Basically, everybody's going to get 100 free credits, and then the whales get fed a little bit more.
Oh, they're the vibranium rewards, but now in the client.
Yes. So
no,
we
they're
have,
not even vibranium rewards. They're we've
they're
had
called
these.
Milestones now.
Well, we it's like the Kim Jacinto Enchantress and the what's it called? Nullified miles.
Yes.
Those.
Yes. So this is if you make purchases specifically through the Marvel Snap web shop, you earn points on a tracker. You're going to have to make sure that you link your Snap account there on the web shop. It's a good idea to purchase through the web shop anyway because they have some more beneficial tax regulations than sometimes purchasing through the app or an app store. Though I guess app stores often have other promos as well. But you will get that free 100 credits for everyone. And then if you make any purchase, you'll get a premium mystery variant. And then as you rack up points in their little metagame of progression, you get additional rewards scaling up to an exclusive variant, which is the true whale flex.
Which is like, this I think Green Goblin.
There's a more Red Goblin art for Green Goblin than there is for Green Goblin.
Right.
Which makes me a little mad.
Technically. One of those red goblins is a carnagerized goblin, which is not technically red goblin.
Fair, but the aesthetic of Green Goblin is more often red in his cards than
correct.
Green.
Correct. And I hate it.
I do too. But
also,
I get it. As an artist,
not,
like
not
you want
a fan
to draw the
this
cool
Ghost
version.
Spider either, so.
Ghost Spider has so many good variants that this one is like, eh.
Yeah, this is like $200, right? This is how it's always been. They've always been $200.
Very expensive. The true whale flex. Right. Again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get the credits, which I guess...
The base level of the extra credits for everybody is nice. And for the people who are always buying the Battle Pass, getting an additional premium mystery variant to help fill out your albums also. I like it.
Hey, who messed up by buying the season pass on the app and not through this? Me.
Who's that, Brad? Oh,
so I don't get this.
Yep.
Until
I
buy
silly that
thing.
It has to be abstracted to the web store rather than have this live in the shop.
And the only reason I ever used the web store before was because it used to have a weird like exchange rate because it's from Newverse, and like things were just slightly cheaper by a dollar or two on the web shop. But
I
now
that it is
they
this
fix that.
The web shop avoided giving the cuts that, say, Google or Apple demand of in-app purchases. So they were giving a benefit just because their bottom line was then better, so they just gave a cheaper price.
But now they're just like, no, you pay same price.
Now it's standardized, but you get this.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's
fine. Wish that I hope they migrate it to the app, but... At the same time, I hope they develop other features ahead of that change. So,
well, I am ashamed to admit that I have two of these whale variants already. I have the Kim Jacinto Enchantress, and I have the nullified. Look at that! Whoa!
Look at that! The whale.
That's me.
But are you going for
no?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Didn't think
not.
So.
Not this one. So. It's so bad looking. I like
funky.
The carnagerized goblin is way better.
Even the other Red Goblin one where he's got his knives and all the dead bodies around him, that one's sick.
Like, let's look at Green Goblin real quick. Look at his variants.
And then we'll go to leagues.
Yep, so which I got that tab ready to go.
Neither
baby.
Brad nor myself is in a league. We're not in the European regions to be able to be in the playtest for this. We're going to be bringing that to the rest of the worldwide audience soon. And that's a great Ink Pulp Goblin, please.
That Ink Pulp is going to be so good.
Can
comes out of May 30th.
Can we fast track that? Okay.
And it's only 700 gold. Insane.
That might change. All the ink pumps are more expensive.
Give it to me. Because, like, I've been rocking this one, the carnagerized one. I like it.
Yes. Same. Conquest, I believe.
Yeah, it was the Conquest Shop one. It was the first one.
Yep. Yeah.
This Green Goblin, though, is fantastic. The Pandart. Yep. Because
I
kind of
like the Pandart stuff.
The pumpkin bomb.
People pan the Pandart by saying it's AI art, but I like it.
Yeah. But this is by far the vibes are crazy. My only complaint with the sync pulp one is I wish maybe we'll see, because like there's some smoke right here on the left. Maybe when it's expanded, this will be like a pumpkin bomb. I just want more pumpkin bombs.
Right. There's that other one where he's diving like straight down. That's amazing. Why is it not here? You know the one I'm talking about. Weird.
Well,
Snap.fan has omitted one. Must have been a dream. Best variants.
And even the Pixel I like.
Sure.
So
one of the better Pixels.
Oh, I miss going out Islands Adventure, where he's like, trick or treat, smell my feet, trying to blow you off the street. And he throws the pumpkin bomb at you. Oh, and you can feel the flames of the pyrotechnics. Oh, it's so good. All right. Leagues. We're not in leagues, like you said.
Have launched.
Amazing.
Yeah. Ben Brode.
Hold
truly
on.
Truly incredible. A national treasure.
This feels... Is this a dig article? Hold on. Because I just see this picture of Ben Brode, very unflattering in one of his the videos, and it just says...
He
just
seems
look
trustworthy.
At him. He seems trustworthy. Yep. Skevable Evil Brode's event. Okay, sure. So what are leagues? You get rewards for ranks in leagues. Groups of 30 players in a competition to see who the best are around. Many players were under the impression that leagues would be a new game mode similar to Conquest. Actuality, it doesn't have a new match mode. It just uses match in ranked and Conquest to give or take points based on performances. You win cubes, you get points. You lose cubes, and they get taken away. I believe per win,
most
it's like fifth. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah,
it's 50 cubes per win, and you lose 25 per loss.
And then there's also a rate. There's like a flat rate per win and lose, and then there's a cube.
Right.
Rate.
And these are the rewards for ranks from 1 through 30. Essentially, number one, you get 1,000 credits, bunch of boosters, a premium mystery variant, and spotlight key. Then you get 1,000 credits, 310 boosters, variant. I'm not going to go through all these. You can look at it on Snap.fan if you want to see in... you know, verbatim, or you can quickly, while you're listening to this, if you're not watching us on YouTube, if you're on Spotify, real quick, open up your phone and just look, because the video is still there. You just have your phone locked. Here you go. Pause it. Enjoy. Let's move on. Where do they have it? Here they are.
This is the problematic portion, I think, for a lot of people, because you can just spend money to do better in your league, either prevent yourself from losing points on lost games, just like lock your rank by doing 150 gold purchase or 200 gold purchase to be able to double your winnings. So chasing number one is not just a true test of skill and time commitment. It is also a test of wallet.
Right. Which
it, depending on the league that you get in, right? And also how the matchups go, I could see you getting... So here's the thing. I'm curious, like, if the top players are always going to get matched with kind of the same group, and then you end up doing kind of a gentleman's agreement of, like, never use perks. That's obviously not always possible. I used to play a game called Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, where you would get matched in the matchmaking against the same shard of players all the time, and you would basically have to enter a shard Discord. And there was like a mafia that would, they had a certain way that you played to be able to maximize people being able to climb at certain times to get max rewards, because then other people would climb at other times during the day to keep on getting their top payouts for being higher in the league. I don't know if something like that is going to be able to evolve in Snap, or if the, you know, the whales will always be able to take number one.
Yeah, I don't like this. Because
why is it cheaper than my cosmetics? Gosh, dang it. They
yeah,
have a reasonable that, price for this, but not for a border.
Well, I wouldn't say reasonable. These are 30-minute, you know, little things. So they only last 30 minutes. And I assume that's 30 minutes of real time, not 30 minutes of in-game time.
Right. I assume that too.
So I do not like this. Leagues
Me
were supposed
neither.
To be like a cool thing to, like, you know, join a league with your friends or whatever. And like, I don't know. Can you join them with other people, or is it randomized of who you join with?
It's, they said it. You don't get the invite. I think clans hopefully
clans
will have
will
a feature
be.
For like a clan league leaderboard. But right now this is just the randos that are close. They've said that the matchmaking They haven't given us the details, similar to how they don't say exactly how MMR is calculated. But they say that time spent in game was a specific factor. And then also, I'm assuming MMR.
All I'll say is that they alluded to announcing two new game modes this year.
Yep.
We're already reaching the halfway point of the year. We're approaching.
This is one of them.
This better not be one of them, is what I'm saying.
This is one of them.
Do we have confirmation that this is
I'm
one of
them? I'm promising you, Brad, this is one of them.
This is not a game mode.
No, it's not. You just play the game and they keep track of your points on another leaderboard.
Yeah, that's so I'm going to be a little bit annoyed if this ends up being one of them.
100% this is one of them. Now, my true worry is that the other one will be clans and you'll actually not get a new mode.
That's It'll just be stupid.
I don't know. Like, we were in the data mine last time and we had hope of like high stakes tables and lucky draw promo.
Right.
Which are like keywords those that look like they could be unique
those
things.
Those should be the new game modes, yeah, right?
Right. I'm promising you this is one of them, though. It's not been confirmed, but this is just Teddy's,
I hope you're wrong.
Teddy's dose of realism.
Let's see what people are saying. Pay to win trash.
Oh,
look at that.
Hey.
The F
Boy,
they
the
need
the
money for.
Delightful plates.
the greedy devs. Remember, they made $88 million last year. Seems like some extra resources if you don't purchase any perks.
This is so the base thing, right, guys? If you play and you finish in the average point of your league, you will get some additional free resources that you are not getting now. If you place within 15, you will get 100 credits and 105 boosters. So it's not a lot. I get that. The 26 to 30 is like why you tried, I guess. 15 boosters? They didn't get a single credit.
Why 15? Why is
number
that even
one gets 1,000 credits, 300 boosters, a premium mystery variant, and a spotlight key that's valued at like $25
more than that?
Yeah, spotlight. No, isn't it 50 for two?
Isn't a spotlight key the equivalent of 6,000 tokens, which is around $50?
Spotlight key is $50
around that. Yeah, some could argue it's 100. Based on how 6,000 tokens used to be valued at 100 before.
So it's not $100.
It's around 50, though.
Between 25 and 50, I'll take that. So,
okay, but
winning,
you get all this, and then if
winning
you finished
is enough of a prize, then it hurts to say this, but it's incentivizing buying the boosters to take number one.
Yeah.
To get that spotlight key, because number two does not get a spotlight key, my friends. Number two does not get a spotlight key, only number one. I wish the top five got them.
Can't do that.
That'd be too generous, clearly.
Hey, Teddy, don't worry about it. The real prizes and the real spotlight keys were the friends we made along the way.
And the leagues on the way, yeah.
I will not be doing these. There's just no reason.
I hope that you get a call out when you match with someone in your league. They're like, hey, league match. You know?
Be cool.
Because
new animation.
I'm not about to memorize everyone's name, but I think it would be neat just on the ladder that I'm like, oh, this guy, he's in my
yep.
league.
He's currently
so
number three. I'm currently number four. Ooh, I can.
That's a
leapfrog.
Super high stakes because then if I win, I'm taking points up and he's taking points down. So
unless he has the boosters.
True. If he's then
then winning doesn't
the
matter except for you.
Shatter.
And if you have a booster on, the game doesn't matter really.
It truly does not matter.
Amazing.
Well, I suppose that I would still get the points for winning. He just wouldn't lose points.
Yeah, but if he's 50 ahead of you, you might just tie him. But
yep.
you don't like swing it. It's not like sports
no.
where like head-to-head matchups in your division
that yeah.
swings a game in, to your favor
yep.
to help you catch up more.
Oh, watch. The worst of all worlds will happen is that it will call out league match, and then it will allow you to make a purchase right before you hop in.
League
do you
match.
Want to protect yourself?
I've seen enough backlash from this, from creators, from the average people, all over Twitter,
yeah.
Discord, all that stuff. I'm hoping Secondary sees that backlash and says, you know what? Let's change it. Will they do that? I highly doubt it. But
right,
this
because here's the thing:
is
there's
bad.
A world. there's a world, like there's a world where these existing is fine if there is a finite number that you can get a season and it's like not paid progression. If like these existed in the conquest shop as like individual one-off purchases, and I just have to strategize on like when I'm going to use my 4 total that I got, that'd be fun. Because then it feels like there's a little bit of extra gaminess to the league system, but there was no monetary spending involved in me performing better, just my strategy.
Or if these cost credits instead of gold.
Yeah, I mean, that would be better.
Because then it's just
a limited number of purchases.
Income. Yeah, that's
a limited number of purchases. Say, purchasable only twice a season and purchasable by credits or by gold. Honestly, if there's a limit and I can spend either one, and hey, it's just another way to spend gold because they're limiting how many different ways you have to spend gold anyway. I'm in the conversation with you now. I'm at the negotiating table with Ben Brode. He's looking back at me, and he's given us none of our demands.
Face of leagues.
The face looking back at me. I hear you want free event perks.
Can't do that. Best I can do is charge you gold for it.
Yeah, best I can do charge you a little less.
The 150 for 30 minutes is really high. Can you just like, I don't know, make that like 100 for an hour? Nice, even number. And he's like, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do 200. Let's raise it up a little bit. Let's do 15 minute increments. How about that? How's that sound? All right. I guess I'll do that, Ben. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for my bonuses.
My perks.
We did it. We did the episode. We love you. We appreciate you. If you want to see these early, you can go on patreon.com/can't stop snapping. Remember to like, subscribe, all that good stuff at the bottom. Leave a comment. Tell us what card you're looking forward to. And again, let's talk about the bonus episodes and stuff. We're looking at discard. We'd already did the bounce, so it's discard Haivo, and what was the third one? Oh yeah, ramp. And then Ted, you suggested one. What was that one again?
Affliction ongoing.
So those are our four. If you have a fifth one or any other suggestions for what decks you want to see us pilot in the bonus episodes that come right here to YouTube, once we get them up on Patreon about a week later, let us know. We'll do a poll in the next couple days, both on Twitter. So again, follow us on Twitter at Can't Stop Snap, and Patreon. Again, love you guys. Appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed. And we'll see you on the next one.
Keep on snapping.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Can't Stop Snapping is a podcast hosted and produced by Brad Seffert and Teddy Ninja, originally created by Michael Thurman.